In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 24, 6:29, 1928. Here, Jesus is just talking about the three peaceful kingdoms, intellect, memory, and will. And they, the children of the divine will be crowned with the three crowns, the tiara. And I always wondered why the Pope stopped wearing the tiara. And it was all planned by God. The recrowning is not only going to be for him, but for all of the children of the divine will. This new era that's coming is, you see pictures of saints in heaven. They have the nimbus and they have, might be wearing a crown. In the kingdom, there won't be a nimbus of light, a halo of light, but it will be radiating a divine light with a triple crown, like Jesus, like Mary. This is so amazing what God is going to do. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. The saints, the mystics had a glimpse of what's coming, but the totality of it is we're going to experience it. So Jesus says, but do you know who shall crown the forehead of the children with my divine will? The sacrosanct Trinity, enraptured by their likeness that they infused in them, in creating them, seeing that our fiat has raised them and formed them as we, triune God, wanted and wounded at the sight of our own divine features in them. And the ardor of our love shall be so great that each of the three divine persons shall place his own crown as the special distinct sign that they are children of our divine will. So God is getting everything ready. In the 60s, when Pope Paul VI gave the crown basically to, it's in Washington at the Basilica. All goes back to Our Lady of America. Great things are going to happen. Amazing things are going to astonish the world. God's got everything planned. And all that he asks of us to do is to begin to live this abundant life. That's all he's asking. So volume 24, 7:29, 1928, my daughter, I, Jesus, bless you from the Sacred Heart, from the heart in your soul and body. May my blessing be the confirmation of our likeness, divine likeness in you. Okay, this is volume 24. My blessing confirms in you, Louisa, what the divinity did in the creation of Adam. That is our divine likeness. So, here, Louisa is the first one. She's the newborn. She's the first one of the divine will who possesses this likeness. And through her, because of what Jesus has done with her, her reading, studying, and putting into practice, it's now it's our turn if we wish. He's not going to force us. He says, if you want this gift, I will give it to you. It's for those, Jesus said. He says, the divine will is for everyone. And then he said, but in reality, Louisa, it's for only the souls who want this gift. So a lot of people say, well, so-and-so is going to have the gift. So no, you've got to read the divine will. You've got to study the divine will. You've got to learn these truths that Jesus taught Louisa of how and why the kingdom is coming. Jesus really wants us to remember this. Now, there's a You Must Know book. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said, you know, we should have a You Must Know book. I said, well, we do. if you go to LuisaPicaretta.me, you can download it yourself. It's yours. It's free. It's basically what Jesus said throughout the 36 volumes to Louisa. Louisa, you must know this. He says that to us now. You must know that during the course of my mortal life, in everything I, Jesus, did, I always blessed. See, there's blessings and there's curses. We have blessings of the protection cross. We have blessings of the Benedictine cross. We have blessings and there are curses. Make sure you have exercise holy water. Make sure you have exercise salt. Make sure you have exercise oil. This is where the priest exercises it. The demonic is not there, where you can use this as your medicine. You can use this as your protection. Each house should have a holy water font. And when you go into your house, you bless yourself. When you leave your house, you bless yourself. You should be wearing the scapular. You should be praying you should be carrying the rosary with you all the time. The crucifix you should at least be wearing. This St. Benedict cross is a powerful cross. We are in battle. These are our weapons. They're weapons of love. And if you are the scapular, if you are wearing these sacramentals, good things are going to happen. Great things are going to happen. God gives them to us to help us understand we're not alone in this. I hear so many people say, oh, I'm so lonely. You're not praying. If you're praying, you're not lonely. Jesus isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's right with you, as he says to Louisa. He says, you must know that during the course of my mortal life, everything I did, and I always blessed, it was the first act of creation. I called back upon creatures in order to confirm it. In blessing, I invoked the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Bless yourself throughout the day. Bless yourself, not just trying to, you got a fly around you? You bless yourself. Father, bless my mind. Jesus, bless my heart, my mind, my soul. Holy Spirit, bless my body, my life. The very sacraments are animated by these blessings and invocations. And again, for a priest, if you want to give a priest a gift, the Roman ritual. This is a great gift to give to a priest. And then say, Father, you read the book first, go through it, or at least know what's the index says. And then say, Father, can you bless this? Can you bless? There's so many blessings in this. Great things are coming. Great things are happening. Jesus says very, very clearly, the very sacraments are animated by the blessings and invocations. So by calling upon the likeness of their God within their souls, my blessings, Jesus's blessings, God's blessings, calls also the life of the divine will, that it may return as in the beginning of creation to reign again in souls, because my divine will alone has the virtue of painting in them. He's the artist, vivifying the divine likeness of the one God who created them and making it grow and of preserving it in with the vivid divine colors. God is doing this. Always ask when you were the priest, always ask for his blessing before you go. If you're calling because you're ill, if you're calling because, say, Father, pray for me now. Pray for me. I need your blessing. This is Jesus's blessing. It's not just some man doing this. It's Jesus's blessing. See then what blessing means. Confirmation of our creative work, because the work we triune God do once is so filled with wisdom and sublimity and beauty that we love to repeat it always, always. Blessings. If our blessing is nothing other than the longing of our heart and to see our image restored back in the creature, as well as the repetition of our confirmation of what we want to do, the sign of the cross that the church teaches to the faithful is nothing other than the impetrating of our divine likeness on the part of creatures. So echoing our blessing, again, echoing, repeating what God is doing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, they repeat this. Therefore, without knowing it, the church and all the faithful harmonize with the eternal creator and all want the same thing. God, by blessing and producing the words, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, want to give his likeness, and creatures impetrate it by making the sign of the cross, pronouncing the same words. So again, we Father, bless me, Son, bless me, Holy Spirit, bless me. Body, mind, and soul. I want to be one with you again. I want to return to that image and likeness that you breathed into Adam again. 9/24/1928. My daughter, our adorable majesty loves the creature so much that we, Triune God, put our life at her disposal to make her another similar to us. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. God wants us like him, image and likeness. It's very, very clear. And all that we have to do is learn about this. We know this. Then how come you're not putting it into practice? That's why reading the volumes every day, Jesus is helping us understand the Catholic faith. Why do we bless ourselves? Why do we have holy water? Why are we doing these things? It's to return back to what God wanted from the beginning. Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him on Calvary. She was with him on Calvary. And now Jesus says, now I want to sanctify you. Jesus says, we place our life as a model before the creature so that modeling herself on our model, the soul may copy our life. The soul may form a facsimiles of her creator. This is why we use many stratagems, finesses of love, and we give surprising graces to see ourselves copied in the creature. And only then shall we, Triune God, be content when our divine love, united with our divine will, conquers the creature. And then we, Triune God, shall be able to recognize our image and likeness in the soul again, just as she came out of our creative hands. Everything that God is doing is to bring us back to paradise. That's why Our Lady says time is going to now come to an end. It's the end of this era. She says, my children are going to be in eternity where they belong. We belong in eternity. That's why at the end of your prevening act, when you fuse yourself with all that is all around you to enter into the prime act of God, the last line we should be saying is, no longer do I want anything on earth. I only want that of heaven. And Jesus says, good. Are you going to begin to live it now? Are you going to begin to live heaven now? Are you going to begin to live the resurrected life now of peace, joy, and happiness? Or are you still going to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, not trusting in God at all, not believing in God at all? Why would you be worried? If God is our God, if what Jesus is saying to Luisa is true, why should we be complaining at all? He says, we shall be able to recognize our image and likeness back again in the soul, just as she came out of our creative hands. 9/24/1928. The truths about my divine fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will. Now that doesn't mean it destroys anything that Jesus said. Jesus tells Luisa what happened in the Old Testament. He says, I fulfilled everything of the Old Testament. That's the New Testament, the Gospels. And he says, now, he says, I want the gospel of the kingdom to go all to all the world. And he says this in Matthew 24. He says, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. So what does he do? He calls the book of heaven the gospel of the kingdom. This isn't a new gospel. It's based on everything that Jesus has done. It's talking about, not about redemption, nothing about redemption. It's talking about now sanctification. He said, creation was of the Father. Redemption was of the Son. Sanctification is of the Holy Spirit. So as Jesus said, fiat lux, let there be light, creation began. When Mary said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. When Luisa says, fia voluntas tua, the echoing of Jesus's prayer, it means the kingdom of God is reestablished in this dust. Remember, man, that thou art dust. I remember when during Lent, and I was going, remember, man, that thou art dust. And this person came up and went, I am not a man. And I went, holy cow. I mean, the yelling was so, I've never been yelled at like this. And it was really interesting. It's man is mankind. It's not against women. And that's why when Jesus says this, it's, we have to understand we're going back to what God wanted from the beginning. This is what's coming. What's so beautiful, what's coming. Volume 24, 8:23, 19:28. The truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will, in which they shall find the norms, the sun, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves. It's nothing against sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is sacred scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says what he speaks to Louisa is the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed to all the world. And this is a divine decree, sanctification. They will find the norms, the sun of the divine will, the teachings of how to ennoble themselves, elevate themselves back to their origin, and take the state given to them by God at the beginning of creation. They shall find the gospel that, taking them by the hand, shall lead them into true happiness, into constant peace. The only law shall be my divine will, that with its brush of love, dipped in the vivid colors of its divine light, shall give back to mankind the likeness of his creator. Image and likeness. So like I said, through holy baptism, we're entering into God's image. And now with the book of heaven, we're entering into God's likeness. Volume 24, 8, 26, 19, 28. Little daughter, my divine will, as my breath breathes over you. This is what we say in the prevenient prayer in the morning. Breathe in my breathing. Breathe in me that rule of God, that breath of God that you breathed into Adam. It renews you. And with its vivifying power, it destroys in you the infection of the seed of the human will and vivifies the seed of my divine fiat. This breath is the origin of the human life of the creature. But as man withdrew from my divine will, he lost my breath. And even though life remained in him, he no longer felt the vivifying strength of my breath that in vivifying him, maintained him beautiful, divinely beautiful, fresh, divinely fresh, and in the likeness of his creator. The divine likeness of God. Do you see what God is calling us to? It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's more than that. It's sharing in divinity. That's why what Jesus says to us is so powerful. As we read this, it makes perfect sense for the priest to say at Holy Mass, may we share now in the divinity of Christ. This is what's coming. 5:24, 9:10, 19:28. And even though Adam slipped and fell, his acts done up to that moment remained intact and beautiful as he had done them. He was the one who remained wounded. He was the one that remained ill. And our image was disfigured in him because our divine will that had taken the commitment to keep him beautiful, fresh, strong, holy, and completely in order with us, just as we had created him, was no longer in Adam. Because Adam himself rejected the divine will. But his works done up to that moment, when he had the misfortune of falling and possessing the unity of our fiat, suffered no change because we too were jealous of these acts that had glorified us, triune God, so much. They had put us in feast. And as we saw that Adam, our son, elevated himself up to us in order to absorb unto himself our divine manners, our divine likeness, and to bring us in the unity of our will, divine joys, divine happiness, and the requital of the smile of all created things. All of creation teaches us the love of God. It's teaching us how to see the I love yous in all of creation. That's why the rounds, again, are so important. We gave him everything. And as much as the creature could contain to the point of overflowing outside and being able to flood the whole earth, as if it were not so, if the whole magnificence of the work of our created hands could not be seen in Adam, not even in heaven would the great things we did in creation be known. And that which the creature does and can do in our divine will It is our love that demands this. It is also our divine justice that wants to have in heaven the reality of that image as man was created. Not another human, not another creature, but humanity. Jesus came to earth to redeem humanity, not another humanity, but the very one who came out of our creative hands, so that if the earth does not know him, heaven may know him. If they look at their origin in Adam and grateful, they thank me, pray me, and that my fiat may come to reign upon earth and to form many more images, more beautiful than Adam, because he was not a complete work in my divine will, but a period of life. So here Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to share this abundant life eternally. So he says in volume 24, 9:16-19:28, you must know this, that the sacrifice made to fulfill my divine will forms pure, noble, and divine blood for the soul. Just as food forms blood for the body, I, dipping my brush of divine love in this blood, amuse myself in forming in the soul more beautiful, more charming, my image in the soul. So why are we all different? We're different sizes, different shapes, different ages, different colors, different, because he says, I love your uniqueness. I want you to be more charming, more beautiful than the next person. He says, as you draw closer to me, this image and likeness is more beautiful. Therefore, let me do. He says this to Luis also often. And you think only of doing my divine will. Think only, live in my divine will. This is what God is waiting for. That's why at the end of your prevenient act in the morning, it should be, I want nothing of earth anymore. I want to do everything in heaven. I want to have the peace, the joy, the happiness, have heaven on earth. So when everybody is around you is panicking and upset, you are peaceful, joyful, and happy. As Our Lady was at the foot of the cross, her heart was breaking in two, watching her son die. But she was peaceful. Why? She trusted God. She trusted the Father. Joyful, happy, in her sorrow. God's got plans, and he needs us to enter into this life. Therefore, let me do. Think only of doing my divine will, and I shall do something more beautiful in the little newborn of my adorable will. So we want to become a little newborn again, like Louisa. So when Jesus talks to Louisa, we say, yes, Lord, I want this as well. I want to participate in this life as well. Sorry. Volume 24, 9:28, 19:26. Excuse me, 28. So many beautiful scenes. Sorry. So many beautiful scenes of light form between the soul and God with the harmony of all colors of the light that the light possesses. We're going to see such beauty, such light, such colors, such harmonies, such tones. What God is going to show us is a new beginning for humanity. But it's not new. It's the oldest gift. It's the gift that God gave to Adam. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary. What does light not possess? It possesses colors, sweetnesses, fragrances, flavors of all kinds. So the scenes alternate, one more beautiful than the other. Here is then how the living of my divine fiat calls back within itself the beauty, the beginning of creation, and repeats for us the divine joys, the divine feats, the divine beginning of the divine will. The creature enters our order into our acts and gives us joys and happinesses, and we keep impressing our likeness upon her forehead. What's really interesting, get white paint and paint a white sheet with white objects, a vase, an apple, white apple, a peach, white peach, a pair, paint, make sure everything's white. Okay. And paint that picture. That was one of the projects we had. And, just before we went, we got our paint, our white paint, the professor said, in white is all the colors. That's all he said. In white is all the colors. So I sat there and I went, okay. So I got all my colors. I painted. It wasn't just a white sheet of paper with a dark outlines. Everything had color in it. I mean, when he said that, you could see the reflection of the colors in the white. You could see it. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, what's the colors? What's the light possesses colors. The light possesses colors. We're going to see things that we've never seen before. Our understanding. See, this is what I mean by a divine perspective. Jesus is going to say to us, okay, paint a white picture, paint, you know, they hold up the picture of this is a white cow in a storm. You know, it's no, in the image, there's all the colors, all the shades, all the tones. And that's what God he's teaching us. As we enter into this, you're going to see colors. You're going to see things come alive that you've never seen. It's not just a white storm with a white cow in it. There's color, there's life. And God is going to show us this. He says, it possesses the sweetness, the fragrance, the flavors of all kinds. So the scene alternates, one more beautiful than the other. And here is then how the living in my divine will calls back within itself the beginning of creation, repeats for us, triune God, the divine joys, the divine feasts of the beginning of creation. The creature enters into our order, into our acts, giving us joys and happiness. And we, now this is what Jesus is doing, keep impressing our likeness on the forehead. Why? Into our intellect, our memory, our will. He's letting us begin to see from a divine perspective. You know, when the professor said that, you know, I want you to paint. Here's what we have. White. Paint it. And then he said, just want you to know that white has all colors in it. And most still, drew a pencil line. It's like, here's the shape of the object. And no, he gave us a hint. And this is what God is doing. When we read the book of heaven, Jesus is always leading us, always guiding us, saying to us, I want to wake you up. I'm going to touch your forehead so that you can understand this. I will touch your heart, he says to Louisa in the prodigies, so that you will love this. It's not going to force us to, as the professor didn't force us to take out all the colors. He says, white has all the colors in it. And it was up to the student to decide. Now it's up to us. That's why you read and say, why did Jesus say this? Why is he doing this? He wants us to become awake. This is what's so beautiful. 5:25, 11:14, 19:28, my daughter. We, triune God, created Adam with our divine likeness. Therefore, Adam too possessed in his human unity. He too possesses this in his human unity. So if he speaks, listen to this. If he operates, if he walks and so on, these could be called the effects of this unity with God. Because one is his will, one is his head on which all of his acts depend. Therefore, it can be said, that is the strength of the unity of his will that speaks, that operates, that walks as the effects of it. So what is he doing? He's saying to us, I want you to be one with me. That's why your last prayer in your prevenient act in the morning is, today I'm going to live on earth as if I'm in heaven. I'm going to think, speak, and act as if I'm in heaven. I want to participate with this resurrected life of Jesus to live with the resurrected life now before I die. This is what Jesus is saying. If man did not have this unity, all of his acts would be in contradiction with one another. Now, for the soul who does and lives in my divine will, the human volition ceases. The human misery is gone. You're living heaven. Its life ends, nor has it any reason to exist any longer, because the life of the unity of my divine will begins in that soul. This is why the living in our divine will is the greatest prodigy. And if our divinity wanted to make a greater one, it could not, nor could it find anything greater, more prodigious, more powerful, more beautiful, more happy than our most holy divine will to give to the soul. Because by giving our divine will, we, God, give everything. Its power forms our echo in the depth of the soul. It's we're echoing God. We're learning how to echo God in our soul. Forms our most beautiful images. The echo of the human littleness becomes one with ours, one with God's, in such a way that uniting to our prime act, the soul runs, the soul diffuses herself in all the effects that the single act of God produces. Returning back to the prime act of God. This is what God wants. So he's saying to us, it's not just repeating, it's entering into this. Echoing the words that Jesus spoke to Louisa. Why? So we can learn how to do this. And then when Jesus says, if you're learning how to echo, watch what I will teach you. Volume 25, 12, 25, 19, 28. We find ourselves in the condition of an artisan who has made his beautiful statue such as to astonish heaven and earth. The artisan loves his statue so much that he has placed his very life in it, so that at each act or movement it does, the artisan feels with it himself the life, the act, the movement of his beautiful statue. The artisan loves it with a love of delirium, nor can he remove it from his gaze from it. But in so much love, the statue receives an encounter. It bumps and it remains broken. This is what happened with Adam. Broken in its members and its vital part that kept it bound and united to the artisan. What shall his sorrow not be? And what shall he not do in order to redo this beautiful statue? More so, since he still loves it, and his raving love has added to the grieving love, such as the state of the divinity is in regards to mankind now. He is our delirium of love. Mankind is God's delirium of love and of sorrow. For we want to redo this beautiful statue of man, since the bump took place in the vital part of our will that he possessed. Once our divine will is reestablished in him, Jesus has redeemed us. Now he wants to sanctify us. Once this happens, the beautiful statue shall be redone for us and our love shall be satisfied. Therefore, I, God, want nothing else from you, Louisa, and us, but to my divine will to have its life in you. Then he added with a more tender note, my daughter, in the created things, the divinity did not create love, but the flowering of his light, of his power, of his beauty, etc., so that it can be said that in creating the heavens, the star, the sun, the wind, the sea, the earth, it was our work that we issued, the flowerings of our beautiful qualities. Only for man was this greatest prodigy of creating the life and the life of our love itself. This is why it is said that he was created in our image and likeness. So in creation, he says, what was happening? The love of God was there, but not to bringing out of that the image and likeness of God. He says, man is the ultimate of creation. Why? It's the image. We created the image and likeness of God. You got to go back. What was Adam's DNA like? Image and likeness of God. And this is why we loved him so much, because it is life and work that has come out of us, and life costs more than anything else. So the work is creation. The life is us. Volume 26, 4, 21, 19, 29. Such was the fullness of the sanctity of Adam before he fell into the maze of his human will, because he possessed the first act, the prime act of God. of our fiat, generator of his creator. Therefore, he possessed fullness of light, fullness of beauty, fullness of strength, fullness of grace. All the divine qualities of our fiat were reflected in Adam and embellished him so much that we ourselves felt enraptured in looking at him, in seeing him. That's why we pray, if you can do this after Holy Communion, the six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa in the first 6 days of creation, in the first six days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. The sixth step is to receive again all the divine qualities that we can possibly accept, possibly breathe in. This is why God's given this back. He wants us to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Now that we're redeemed, it's even greater than what God gave to Adam. In looking at him, seeing him, we are enraptured. He is so well sculptured, our dear image and our divine being formed in him. This is why, even though Adam fell, Adam did not lose the life nor the regenerative hope that our fiat, because since Adam had possessed the fullness of its act in the beginning of his life, it did not want to lose the one who had possessed it. So here, Jesus is saying that even though Adam fell, God was going to redeem for the future promised Messiah. And now 2,000 years later, he says, now I can sanctify humanity, bring them back to where Adam was before the fall. And this is why God gave us Louisa. Volume 1929. Until man surrenders his human will and mind. That's what we do in our prevenient act. Today, I want nothing of the human. I want only that of the divine. I want to begin to live heaven on earth. Mind cannot cast its principal life in the human will. The fusion of the one with the other cannot take place until man surrenders his human will. The creature shall always be a creature without the likeness and life of her creator in the depth of her soul that only my divine fiat can form. Therefore, there shall always be dissimilarity, distance, and even though my divine volition illuminates the soul, communicates to the soul its admirable effects out of its goodness and liberality by the effect of the power and the immensity that it possesses by its own nature. He said, God says, even though I'm doing this, until the soul says, I don't want my human will in charge anymore. So again, what is your human will? What is my human will? It's when I go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. This is what I thought. Thought, said, and did. This is what I failed to do. I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these near occasions of sin. God goes, good. Then he says, prove it. So what is he doing? He's teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us to perfection. We will have to go to purgatory if everything that we are doing separated from the holy humanity of Jesus is done in us. If we're living a life that is not the holy humanity of Jesus or not the holy humanity of Mary, if we're not living the life of the new Adam and the new Eve, we're going to have to be purged of that, either in this life or in the next. So Jesus is showing us how to be purged. Okay. The victimhood that he's calling us to is not to give life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So the consequences of victimhood in the divine will is peace, joy, and happiness. If you're really not giving life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, you're happy. You're in the state of grace. This is the life our God wants us to begin to live, a life of peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus says very, very clearly. He says, we feel the creative power of our divine fiat reproduces us and forms our lives and our works in humanity. 527, 11, 10, 19, 29. My daughter, there's a great difference between the creation of the whole universe and the creation of man. In the first, the creation of the universe, there was our creative and persevering act And after everything was ordered and harmonized, we added nothing else that was new. On the other hand, in the creation of Adam, there was not only the creative and persevering act, but the active act added to it, and of an active activity ever new. See, but the active act added to it of ever new. So what God is asking of us is to enter into this abundant life, ever new. This because Adam was created in our image and likeness, and since the supreme being is a new continued act, man too, Adam too, was to possess the new act of his creator that might resemble him in some way. Therefore, our active act of continuous novelty remains inside and outside of Adam, of us now. By virtue of this, our active act, man can be and is always new in his thought, new in his words, new in his works. When you think of new, think of God. He's always God in his thoughts, God in his words, God in his works. How many new things do not come out of mankind? And if man does not give this new act as continued, but in intervals, it is because he does not let himself be dominated. There's that word again. By my divine will. So we want to be dominated by the divine will of God. How beautiful was the creation of Adam? There was our creative, persevering, and active act, and we, triune God, infused in Adam as life, our divine will in his soul, and we, triune God, created our divine love as blood of his soul. The blood of our soul is the love of God. Why are we happy? Why are we peaceful? Why are we joyful? Because Jesus is saying he infused in us the life of his will in us. He created God's love as blood for our soul. We belong to him. We are of him. This is why we love him so much. This is God talking of Adam. We love Adam so much because he is not only our work like all the rest of creation, but Adam possesses part of our life in a real way. We feel in him the life of our love. How not to love him? Who does not love one's own things? And if one did not love them, he would go against nature. Therefore, our divine love towards mankind gives of the incredible. But the reason is clear. We love mankind because he came out of us. Humanity is our child, a birth from our very selves. What is humane vitae? And if man does not exchange his love with ours, he does not surrender his human will to us to keep ours, to keep ours. He is more than barbarous, cruel against his creator, against himself, because not recognizing his creator and not loving his creator, he forms a maze of miseries. This is where we are. This is why we go to confession. A maze of miseries, of weaknesses inside and outside of him, and he loses his true happiness. So what is our human will? Jesus says, use your free will to choose which will you want to live. Do you want to live in your misery where you're always going to be unhappy? Or do you want to live in the divine will where you will always be happy? Because it's one with God. God is happiness. And by rejecting our divine will, he puts himself at a distance from his creator. He destroys the principle of his creation, consuming the blood of our love in his soul to let the poison of his human will flow in it. Therefore, until our divine will is recognized by whom? By us, not by your family, not by your friends, not by your neighbors, not by your coworkers, not even by your parishioners, until the divine will is recognized by us who are reading the book of heaven and forms its kingdom in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Man will always be disordered. He'll be a disordered being without the likeness of the one who created him. So God says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. As you and I begin to live this, your family becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? Jesus is there. Mary is there. See, God's got plans, and we're in them. And he says the face of the earth is going to be changed, but he needs us to cooperate. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.